tomorrow, for a lot of folks around Dillingham and other parts of the Bristol Bay region, there are potentially a couple of things going on. For some, including those in Game Management Unit 17C, winter moose season opens tomorrow. Some other units around the area open 2 to 4 weeks later, but winter seasons are here. For others, tomorrow represents a big annual happening, the Christmas Bazaar here in Dillingham. I'll give you 3 guesses as to which of those 2 I'm going to be talking about today, and the first 2 guesses don't count. Yes, let's talk a bit of moose today, though I'm going to try to take things in a different direction somewhat. Moose have been a topic on here before, either in part or whole, and I have no desire to completely regurgitate a topic. Rather, an angle I'd like to consider today is that yes, moose and moose hunting are an important subsistence activity around the Bristol Bay region and across other parts of the state. But here's something to keep in mind. It's not just us. Moose are important in the same way around other parts of the globe as well. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. While moose are a largely iconic symbol of Alaska, they are hardly only an Alaskan animal. They can be found across a very broad band of the northern hemisphere of our planet, to include us, a lot of other parts of North America, Europe, and Asia. And when it comes to hunting them, we're not even at the top there. Sweden absolutely runs us into the ground with their annual harvest each year. Today, let's take a look at the moose as a global animal, as well as a few things to think about around our neck of the woods. Starting out with what we know, meaning those moose on our own continent, moose are found in Alaska, most of Canada, and mountainous and forested areas of the lower 48. Sometimes oddballs don't even stick to that. Just this week, I saw a post on Facebook from a refuge in Nevada. Somebody snapped a photo of a moose in a very arid, flat desert portion of Nevada. Perhaps it was lost, perhaps it was dealing with a parasite, or maybe it was just tired of the maddening crowds. While not to the extent we see in Alaska, folks get pretty geeked up about hunting moose in the lower 48 too. In states such as Idaho, Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. It's worth noting that those states have tighter regulations than we have here, due to smaller populations of moose and larger populations of hunters. Also, moose sizes can vary. Alaska has indisputably the largest subspecies, while those in the Rocky Mountains of the lower 48 are considerably smaller, both in body and antler size. When you start to break down populations on a global scale, there can be some variations amongst sources, but most look something like the following. Across North America, it looks something like this. Alaska has around 200,000 or a bit more. The Rocky Mountain states of the lower 48 have somewhere between 20 and 25,000 moose, with between 7 and 8,000 of those found in Wyoming. Michigan, Minnesota, and North Dakota have moose as well, though getting a number is difficult. Most of those were in Minnesota, and their population has been in sharp decline for several years. There are an estimated 50,000 or so in the New England area. Some estimates for the whole of Canada put their population estimate at something like close to 1 million moose. Going beyond our borders, the Scandinavian countries have perhaps as many as 650,000. More on those countries in just a moment. Other small countries in Europe, not far removed from those, such as Latvia, Estonia, and Poland, have populations as well, with those three having an estimated 30 to 35,000 moose. And Russia has as many as 600,000, with those moose spread across a broad band over the northern two-thirds of the country. Again, moose, not just an Alaskan thing. Perhaps no other place embraces moose hunting, like the Scandinavian countries of Norway and Sweden. Those folks really get after it. In Norway, the annual harvest is often around 30,000 moose, and in Sweden that number is a whopping 100,000 each year. Compare that with Alaska's annual harvest of around 7,000 or a little more. Sweden actually loses a couple thousand more each year to traffic accidents than are shot in Alaska. Let's take a closer look at Sweden and their moose hunting. Sweden has around 10 million people living in it, which is obviously a lot more than Alaska. At 173,000 square miles, it's about a fourth the size of Alaska. However, those 10 million people across that much land still makes it fairly sparsely populated, globally speaking. The northern parts of the country are very sparsely populated, and the whole country has outstanding moose habitat. Around 300,000 hunters moose hunt each year in Sweden, or something like around 12 times as many as hunt moose in Alaska. Moose hunting is such a big deal that whole companies will shut down business for the first week of season. While some types of hunting look similar to here, such as spot and stalk hunting, there are differences. It's common for group hunts to take place there, and a technique called posting is used, in which hunters are on stand and other hunters walk through the woods and nudge moose past the hunters on stand. This also happens using specially trained dogs to nudge the moose forward. Also, a lot of the land is privately owned and requires permission or a lease agreement. And before you go thinking, moose hunting in Sweden is all the bomb, with the numbers of moose they have and harvest, consider this. Gun ownership is strictly regulated. Experienced hunters are allowed to own a maximum of 6 guns. Less experienced hunters are permitted to own less. All gun owners must be registered, and every gun purchase requires a special license from the local police. For those who are okay with a small personal arsenal, referencing last week's episode, maybe this isn't a huge deal. For myself and the friends I have, it'd be a hardship. Which kind of brings us back around to moose and the hunting of them here at home. We may not have the numbers of Sweden or Norway, but we certainly have the passion. Folks here, justifiably so, like getting their moose and having moose meat in the freezer. And why not? Even a small bull produces a lot of meals, and it doesn't get any better than moose meat, in terms of eating quality and as a healthy source of protein. Even for as long as I've been in Alaska, it never ceases to take my breath away at just how big moose are, as you stand next to one on the ground. Again, even the small ones are large, and the mature bulls are simply colossal. I have shared on here before that the moose around Togiak Refuge are the biggest of the big, and that's a proven fact. A few years back, a study was done, and a pretty wide-scale, comprehensive one at that, that studied 15 different moose populations around our state, including the moose we have on Togiak Refuge. I won't go into any great detail about that report, but some of the findings to back up what I just said about Togiak Refuge moose include the following. Cows on the refuge give birth for the first time, on average, a year earlier than they do in other populations. Not only do they start sooner, their twinning rate, the frequency with which they begin producing two instead of one calf, begins sooner and happens with greater frequency. For some populations, cows don't have twins until they reach 5 years of age. Togiak Refuge cows, on the other hand, begin producing twins at age 2. What this spells out is that our moose are in great shape, because a cow has to start out in better physical condition to have and raise twins than to raise a single calf. At the risk of sounding like a late-night infomercial, but wait, there's more. The health of the calves produced is also better at Togiak than anywhere else. Weights of 10-month-old calves were available for 6 of the study areas. The average weights ranged from 342 to a high of 470, which was the average of Togiak's 10-month-old calves. In fact, Togiak's 10-month-old calves were 20 pounds heavier, on average, than the second place number, and well over 100 pounds more than calves found in other populations. So what does all that mean? It means the genetics for our local moose are as good as it gets, and that's something to feel good about as we get out and try to find and secure one of the carriers of those genetics for our freezers. If you will be hunting during our winter season, a few things to remember. First, I'd urge everyone to be fully prepared for whatever weather they'll face. Be sure to wear appropriate clothing and have emergency gear on hand. While time is running out, if you get a chance, make sure that whatever rifle you'll use is dialed in and ready to go. Also, be legal. Make sure you have a tag and a hunting license if required. Follow the laws and be a good steward of our resources while you're out there. For those hunting, best of wishes next month or whenever you hunt. If your Saturday coming up tomorrow will involve the Christmas Bazaar, you're on your own. I have no advice for you there. Though maybe there is some degree of overlap with hunting. Dress appropriately and have survival items on hand, even if those survival items might differ just a bit. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.